Now, Ken and Jan have taken what we loosely call long service leave, is that correct? Which seems to be turning into very long service leave. And they are working with Iris Ministries. We've only just met, but...
Oh, dear.
But as I was saying in the prayer meeting, I prayed for them, and I got so blessed by praying for them that they prayed for me. So clearly the Spirit of God is upon them. And you remember the principles we're learning about. If you honor someone as a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. If you know that principle. So we want everything, don't we? So we just want to honor Ken and Jan for all that they are, for what we see on them already, for their hearts of compassion, for the Holy Spirit within them, for the love of God within them, for prophetic revelation, because they've demonstrated that, and we want it all, don't we? Well, I want it all, and it's working on the principle as if you don't, all the more for me, then... Does it work that way? I don't know if it does. So, let's first of all welcome them. And let's secondly pray for them and bless them. So assume the blessing position, whichever it is for you, and I'll just come here. Heavenly Father, ask that you will pour out right now your blessing, your favor, your anointing on Ken and Jan. We thank you for their sacrifice and their obedience. We thank you for the journey of trust and faith that you've set them upon. We thank you that their hearts are full of love and compassion, and that through that compassion you are releasing your goodness and your miracles and your kindness over people. And we want to right now receive everything that they have for us. We honor them for who they are. We honor them for the gifts that you have given them. We honor them for their faithfulness. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us everything that's possible for us to have today through Ken and Jan. Lord, we just release them to minister to us and to minister in faithful obedience to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff. So I'm Ken and this is Jan, in case you didn't work out that. But when we email people from all around the world and we say we are Ken and Jan, some of the people in Europe get a little bit confused by they think it's Jan and... who is this Ken person? But we're Ken and Jan, and that's us. Now, we come to you as we're regular people. And if that's not already obvious, it should be. We're just regular people. But aren't we all extraordinary in God? And for us, what we want to share something about today is about how we're just regular people, but we feel we've been caught up in an extraordinary adventure with God. And saying yes to Jesus at a point of your life and then saying another yes, and that just leads into an incredible adventure. And that's the sort of adventure we're on. We want to thank you for having us this morning. We feel so welcomed already. We had a great night last night with Bill and Beck and their family and their friends. So the worship for us started about... I don't know, about six last night, five or six last night, and it's hardly stopped. So we feel really welcomed with you. And when Teresa is the connection that has brought us here in the first place, and we didn't realise when that connection, when she said, you know, you could come down and speak to our church, that would be such a lovely group of people. You people are fantastic. You're awesome. And is it impossible we come back here every Sunday morning? It's just a bit far. It's a bit far. But we do love you guys already. So thank you for having us. We're going to talk a bit about hearts today. And I want to start by asking you to put your hand on your heart and let's pray together. Well, we thank you, Father God, for your heart for us, your heart for the world. And we pray this morning for open hearts. We pray that you will speak to our minds, to our spirits, and even more importantly, to our hearts, that you enlarge our hearts this morning with your love. We thank you for your faithfulness to us, and we thank you that as we offer ourselves to you, that you draw near to us. We pray that you do speak to us in a new way this morning. You touch us in our hearts today in a way that you haven't touched us before. We pray for a new encounter, a new love encounter with you today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to be talking a little bit about hearts. Now, Jan did a bit of research. She's the computer person that loves Google and Googling things. And so she's done a bit of research about the heart. You're too far away. If you come and stand up there. So these are some things that if you didn't know this about your heart, most people were able to find their heart when I said put your hand on your heart. If you didn't know, your heart is found just behind your ribs, in your chest cavity. It's a muscle. It's like other muscles. You need to exercise your heart. That's how it gets stronger. Its function is to pump blood around the body. Every organ of the body needs blood. Your heart beats around 100,000 times a day. Depending on your body size, your body has about 4 to 5 litres of blood, and that's what the heart's job is, to pump around your body. The heart is the size, around about the size of your fist. So if you make a fist, that's about the size of your heart. But apparently, when the baby is developing in the womb, in the first few weeks of its development, the heart is much bigger than that in comparison to the size of the baby. It's about 9 times greater in body size ratio in the early developing baby as it is when the baby is born. 9 times greater. But then over our lives, basically from the time a baby is born for the rest of your life, the heart takes up about the size of the fist. Now, we don't have the medical evidence to back it up, but we actually think our hearts have grown in the last few years. God's just taken us on an adventure and has told us, you give your hearts to me and I will grow them. And we really feel that's part of our journey. And we want to encourage you all in that God wants to grow your heart. Now, we are Iris missionaries. And for us, that's kind of a big statement, because the word missionary, I don't know what it conjures up to you, but you might be thinking of people in a mud hut translating for 25 years and then coming up with a New Testament, and that's what a missionary is. Or you may have a different understanding of a missionary life, but for us it's been a bit of a challenge to think, could we be missionaries? You know, how does that fit with us? Now, we probably don't look like your typical missionaries. We're bivocational missionaries in that we're school teachers, and we've continued in our school teaching job over the last few years, even though we've had an increasing involvement with Iris Ministries. And we are part of the Harvest School of Missions, and that's our particular role as missionaries. So we're not into running a children's home or in Bible translation or any of those other jobs that you might associate with being missionaries, but we're part of the mission school. And I know many people here are familiar with Iris Ministries and with Heidi and Roland Baker, and part of their call is one to, at the local level, in a national level, in places like Mozambique and 25 or so other countries around the world, but also their call is an international one. And we're part of the international call of Iris, which is to go to places in the world, into the West, and encourage people to grow in their love for Jesus and to grow in their love for the things that he would want us to love. And part of that call is the mission school that is run in Pemba, Mozambique, and we're part of the staff of the mission school. Now, and we'll talk more about that later. But I'll read this quote. This is from the brochure of the Iris Harvest School. It says, Iris Harvest School students and Iris missionaries have been described as having oversized hearts, beating with the rhythm of their bridegroom, King Jesus. carrying his glory over the face of the earth. Fearless, laid down lovers that know a love that has no boundaries and are ready to run to the darkest places and bring in the lost, the poor and broken. So part of our call is to be part of that breed of people and to help facilitate others in that going into the darkest places. Right now we've got, IRIS is involved in many countries around the world, but one of the things that's happening just now, we've got a group of past students who are working in Nepal and are on a trek into the Himalayas, just taking the gospel. They've got the Jesus movie on their back and showing that in villages, praying for healing, and whatever comes their way, they're ministering in that way. And that's something that's happening right now. And the other thing that's happening right now is the IRIS relief team, where in four waves, we've got groups of past students, IRIS missionaries, going into Japan to bring the joy of Jesus into that place and to bring practical help as well as ministry, real ministry, into that place. Now, we like to quote Matthew 10, 8, 9, in the focus, what we think as the focus of the school. And when we're in the school, we live in a house with others, and when some members of our house go on outreach, we always share this word with them as they go out the door, and we tell them, you have to take this on board. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely give." And we'd like to think that's what the journey we're on in developing that and trying to live with that calling on our lives. Now, I've got a short DVD we're going to see.
Oh, you just want to clap that, don't you? Let's clap, because that's awesome stuff. That's kingdom stuff. That's not boring missionary stuff. That is what we get to do. That was filmed last year, and we were there. And we just, every time I look at that movie, it just brings me unstuck. Now, you might be thinking, hey, these guys are missionaries. I have to tell you a secret. We had no interest in mission. We've never been interested in mission, but we've been interested in kingdom things. And it just is, yeah, that's a clap. Yeah, that is awesome, because we just love to see people healed. We love to see the blind healed. Hands up those who've seen blind people healed. I'm looking. Yes, there's a hand. Well, we have, and it does happen in the world. We're passionate about seeing the deaf healed. And I'm a teacher of the deaf. And when I was 7, I wanted to be a teacher of the deaf. And every day I believe I'm getting closer to seeing a deaf child miraculously healed here in Melbourne. I haven't seen it yet, but I have seen it in Mozambique. And I've been part of people, a group of people that have prayed numerous times for deaf to hear. Our story is a long story in some ways, but in another way, it's just a very short amount of time that so many things have happened. And a few years ago, I went up to the St. Andrew's Market and set up a stall there praying for healing. And that was a significant step along the way of seeing amazing things that God's been doing. So I guess to tell a little bit about the story, because we want you to be encouraged that we're teachers and we've just resigned from our jobs. In fact, we've only got 3 more days to go, and then that's the end of any paid income or whatever you like to call it. And we're really stepping out. As Ken said before, we've had time overseas in 2008. We had 4 months, and then last year we were over there for 7 months, and we're heading back in 4 weeks for the rest of the year. And then come Christmas, we have no idea what God wants us to do, but we're on a journey and we've said yes. So I want to tell you a little bit about our history. So back in 2005, I was one of the first people to go to the Bill Johnson Conference in 2005 at Camberwell. Is anybody here? Did anybody else go to that one in 2005? Yeah, a couple of hands. Awesome. Well, I didn't have any idea who he was, and I still have the brochure that's covered. Every little bit of space is covered with notes because it's so resounded with my heart. And so today, if the things that we tell you resound with your heart, step into those things, because that's what God is wanting you to step into. So we went there, then we started reading Heaven Invades Earth in our small group. And then at the start of 2006, we were going over to California, our very first trip overseas, to visit Ken's sister. And I begged Ken to let us go up to Reading. Now, it wasn't all that far away, but it was a huge thing between the two of us. And we finally got up to Reading Bethel Church, where Bill Johnson's the pastor, just for a weekend. And it was absolutely awesome. I remember writing in my journal in the Alabaster Prayer House that we would be going to places off the page, never dreaming still what was about to happen. So still never heard of Iris Ministries, never heard of Heidi and Roland until June 2006. And it was a random book that I picked up at Coorong, and it was called The Hungry Always Get Fed. And I was on the plane going to Tasmania to a Teachers of the Deaf conference, and I read the first page and 2 deaf mutes were healed. And I just shoved the book to my colleague next door. I didn't care that she wasn't a Christian, said, read this. And to the other person on the plane, read this. And I said, I want to go. So there you go. That's all you have to do is say, I want to go. And I never dreamt, I really never dreamt that we were going to go and go so many times. A little bit later on, we heard Chris Valiton speaking in the city, and there was a couple that was directly in line with us, and we weren't mixing with people that heard many prophetic words. Prophecy where we were mixing was just something that was a little strange. But Chris Valiton, and I hope you know who I'm talking about, brought prophetic words to many people. And he looked at the couple directly behind us and he asked them to stand up. And he said to that couple, like, quite a few things. And then he said to them, "Have you ever wanted to go to Africa?" And the people answered, "Yes, but only to the place where Heidi and Roland are working, and that's the only place we'd like to go." And I just said to Ken, "Hey, that's a word for us." Although it had nothing to do with us, I just knew God was speaking. So then things travelled on a little bit, and I remember applying for the school to be students on this Harvest Mission School. And one of the questions on it, it said, "Do you have a call to mission?" And I thought, we don't really have a call to mission. They're not going to accept us. But we put our application in, and the next day I was going to school and a car passed me and I looked at the number plate and it said IRIS-001. Iris. And I got to school, rang Ken, said, I think we're going to Africa. It's as simple as that. God talks in all kinds of ways, if we're looking and if we're listening. So a little bit further, I want to just share this. I had an encounter with God. I woke up one night and I really felt God was speaking to me. And I got out of bed and went to the family room. And to cut a long story short, it was like a heart operation that I had. And God was saying that he wanted to work on my heart. He wanted to expand my heart. And I said to him, "Will this hurt?" And he said, "Yes. Because in order to love more, there is suffering." And I want to encourage you, if you're feeling really down today, if you are suffering, press in, because you're going to get a greater heart, greater ability to love through the suffering. And that's what happened to me. I had several dreams. There was something really unusual for me, and I didn't know how to interpret them, so I had to find someone to help me interpret them. And they were very significant things. We had confirmation through different prophetic words. And another thing, like I said before, stepping out into St Andrew's Market, which is a very alternative market for praying for healing, just taught us so much. God just revealed things to us week by week by week. No one had ever done that before, and so we had to listen. And I actually had a key ring with keys on it that God was showing us week by week how to bring freedom into people's lives. And when we'd finished there at the St Andrew's Market, I had a friend come running up and say, "Jan, there's a team from Byron Bay and from Melbourne are going into the Mind, Body and Spirit Festival. Would you like to come?" And I got to join that team and train with them. And that was another step along the way. Still, you know, what God was doing was amazing things in my life that I didn't understand would bring us to the point of being staff on a mission school, when I just feel like, oh, how did we ever get there? So in October 2008 to December, we went as students to the Harvest School. And we just did what everybody else did, the 20-year-olds and the 30-year-olds, and there were a few people older than us, but we had an absolute ball. We loved every part of it. And when we finished the school, to our absolute surprise, I could take you to the exact spot that the director spoke to us and said to us both, "We'd like to talk to you. We've got two things we want you to do. One is, would you consider doing administration work for Iris Ministries? That's to help bring all the students in from all around the world. And secondly, would you come back on staff?" Now, we were just totally blown away. We knew that we loved everything that had gone on, but we just looked at the others and we thought, how come God's asking us? But we said yes straight away to doing the admin work and the staff thing. We said, we can't come this year. We've got commitments with our school, but we'll look to plan for the year ahead. And so that's what we did. And so last year, we went back on the staff of the two schools and we had 150 students from all around the world come to learn about cross-cultural mission. And we were part of the leadership team. And in the second school, we moved into a core leadership team position. And it's not about, although when I'm saying position, it's not like that. It's very totally relational. And so last October to December, from all our lives and our leadership experience, last October's leadership experience over in December was unbelievable. It really was an incredible experience where we worked together as a team and just were able to see these students equipped and released to go out into the nations. And it was an amazing time.
So I'll just tell you a little bit more about what we mean by the school, the mission school. Because we're teachers and we say, oh, we're going to a school, people assume that we're going as teachers. Well, we're not going in a teaching role. But we are organisers, and we've just found the things that we've been doing as school teachers for 30-odd years, have those skills that the giftings that we've had and the skills we've developed actually come together in this great ministry opportunity, I guess. And so what happens on the school, our role is an organisational one, administration, a pastoral role. We're house parents to a group. We're team leaders when groups go on outreach. So we're involved in that sort of way. And we also get the extreme privilege of mixing with people from all over the world who are there as the speakers. So the school is not one that has a set curriculum. But Heidi's vision is to bring in people from all over the world to listen to speakers from all over the world in a cross-cultural context and then be sent out. And so over the last year we had extraordinary speakers like Bill Johnson, Stacey Campbell, Jackie Pullinger, Dennis Balcombe and Sapraisa Sitoli, a lot of the Mozambicans that you may not have heard of, Pastor Mario, who's a legend in Mozambique. And we're getting to mix with these people, and that's the thing. We've got to keep pinching ourselves that we are mixing with these people in the school is just such an incredible privilege for us. And to have those sort of people praying for us and giving prophetic words to us and developing us is just an amazing thing as well. But the mission school the last school was about 150 students. And while the school is in session for about 10 weeks, there's also a Mozambican Bible school that's in session with usually about the same number of Mozambicans. Now, they've come from the four or five provinces in the north of Mozambique to be trained as pastors. Now, the rate of church growth within the Irish churches in Mozambique is just incredible. So the training of the pastors, you can't keep up. So there are a lot of people who are in leadership in the churches who they may be the only one in the village who can read at all, or they may have just have no reading at all. And so they have very little training. So this opportunity for them to come and train alongside of us is also a great thing for them. So there's the Bible school students and the mission school students, and we do a lot of things together. When we go on outreach one or two weekends during the school, and our team would be half the group would be Westerners and the other half would be Mozambicans. And we go on an outreach, show the Jesus film, go to house praying for healing for people. And in a Muslim, synchronistic Muslim country where there's a lot of witchcraft, there's a lot of mixed belief, it's just an amazing openness to prayer because they see it works. And one of the questions that people will ask us over and over when we're back here is, well, how come you talk about seeing healings over there and isn't that the same experience when you get back here? Well, no, it's not. But that's that I know it, that's a question that we all have. Why doesn't that work in the West? Why doesn't that work back in Melbourne compared to what you hear happens in Africa? And there's a long answer to that. But, brief answer is that the people over there are hungry and they are spiritually aware. They are aware of their need, that without being lifted out of that position they're in a spiritual way, there's nothing much for them. So there's a here we're very much more self-satisfied, aren't we? And there it's the hunger that gets met, I think. And so within the mission school, I just would like to encourage you, if anyone has heard even what we've said briefly or has heard about the mission school in the past and would be interested to know more, that you get in touch with us, either talk to us today or sometime later, get our email address and make contact with us, because that's what we see as one of our roles, is to connect Aussies with IRIS. And there were some brochures at the front with our email address on them, and some IRIS brochures as well. We've really run out. We've been giving them out over the last couple of months, so there's not very many there, but we can certainly get our email address, if not more, information out there. And we could say a lot more about the mission school. Might have to cut it there. But for us, we've already said it, but saying yes was the key for us. And if I was to say, well, if someone was to say to me, well, what qualifies you as a missionary? Well, it's not theological college, it's not years in ministry, etc., etc. What qualifies me is that I said yes with Jan, we said yes, and God says that qualifies you. I need your availability. If you're available, you're qualified. And he doesn't take us into things that we can't handle with him. So I'd encourage every one of you to think about that in terms of saying yes to Jesus. Whatever he's calling you in today or tomorrow or next week or for the rest of your life, your destiny, say yes, be available to him, and that will qualify you for that. And one part of the incentive for us was this idea that we needed to go where God was in action, where I think Bill Johnson talks about going where you see faith demonstrated, where you see the kingdom of God breaking forth, be there. And that's what we said yes to. Hang around people who are hungry for his presence. Hang around people who are hungry for his presence. And in the natural, when you're hungry, you eat, right? And your hunger is satisfied. But in the spiritual, it doesn't work that way. If you're hungry and you look to God to satisfy your hunger, you actually grow in your hunger. You get more and more hungry for God the more you hang out with him. And that's certainly what we found. And there's an interesting, we often look at things in the natural and the supernatural. That's something that's quite different. Bill Johnson, I like this quote, and I'll read this from Face to Face with God. Hunger for God is one of the greatest signs of life a person can have. It reveals an inner awareness of the existence of greater destiny and personal fulfillment. Some people have a theological concept about God, about God's presence being with them, but they are stuck with no true interaction or experience. We must press past intellectual awareness to hunger for heartfelt encounters that change and transform. And I think that's where we've been stuck, where the church has been stuck, in an intellectual awareness that God is with us, but not necessarily having the heart or the spirit that is open to a love encounter or a power encounter, a personal encounter with him. We need to look for his presence to be with us and have that encounter. He's not a God who's way out there. He's with us, isn't he? And we need to invite his manifest presence in our lives.
When we got to Africa, the very first time we were prayed over, this girl said to us, "You're not missionaries, you're lovers." And we just absolutely laughed and laughed because I just told you before that we felt we didn't have a call to mission. But we knew we were lovers and we were on this journey that God was just expanding our hearts. And so I want you to think about, what does love look like for you? For me, over in Africa, love looked like this. It needed me to, first of all, see people. That I just didn't bypass people, walk past them. I needed to see them and I needed to stop for them. And then I needed to love them. And so it might have just meant a hug. It might have meant me sharing my bottle of water with one of the kids. It could have been buying new flip-flops for a child or a pastor. It could have been going up to the baby house and tucking the kids in bed at night time. It could have been praying for the child that had malaria, the little baby that I held in my arms and prayed and prayed and prayed for healing for that child. It could have been giving money to a child to be able to attend school. But love looks like all kinds of things, taking time with people. And I want you to seriously think about that. What does love look like for you? Do you see people? Do you stop for people? And I was really amazed. I do feel like God's got me on a journey, and I do see the person in the back corner who's shy and who doesn't want to talk to anybody. I do see those people. But then we've got a choice. Do we go and love them? Do you smile? Do you go and say hello? When I came back from Africa, I was putting petrol in the car and everyone's just standing there quietly. And I just wanted to say hello to everybody. And it's not my nature, but it was just, I recognised something's changed in me and I wanted to say hello to all the people. So as we know in Corinthians, it says, if I speak in tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And actually like someone to get the cymbal and bang it. That's how bad it sounds. And then it says also, and if I give to the poor, if I give all I have to the poor but have not love, I'm nothing. How challenging is that? That is incredible. So when we love, we need to love because the Holy Spirit tells us, because we feel that in our hearts to love others, not just because it's a good idea, but it's a God idea. It's easy to love when we're loved back. We're called to love our enemies. And I really did feel I was to share some personal things with you. These are some things that have happened to me. Love when you're called to teach with a person who you consider to be the hardest person ever to get on with. When they walk in the room, this person walked in the room. When I walked in the room, they walked out of the room, and it took them half a year to even call me by name. When your family takes little interest in what you're doing in Africa, we're called to love. You love when you get squashed into a truck for travelling for 18 hours from Pemba to Beira to a conference and the other people have no idea about personal space. You love when your camera is stolen out of your luggage even before you get to use it. You love when your own daughter doesn't ring you on Mother's Day. You love when you don't get an invitation to your grandson's birthday party. And on a lighter note, you love when someone you shared your house in Pemba eats all your peanut butter. And you love when people break into the Harvest School office and steal all the donated tents. It's easy to love when we're loved back, but we're called to love our enemies.
So as I said before, many of you will know Heidi and Roland Baker. You will have heard of them, read the books or seen DVDs, seen them talk, for instance. We just had Roland here a couple of weeks ago in Melbourne, and that was just a fantastic weekend. But one of the things that happens with the mission school is that the purpose of it is that those who come there as students catch the DNA of Iris. And Roland last year set down a fantastic article where he highlighted what the core values were for Iris, and for the first time articulated that in writing, because Heidi and Roland had called a meeting of all the international leaders to come to Pemba, and that happened in July. And for that meeting, he put it down on paper, and then if you've ever seen, he has newsletters that come out every now and then, and this was in a newsletter last year where he spelt this out in a little bit more detail. And so see, these are some of the core values. He said he could have written for pages and pages, but he found these five things were the most significant. And I think if we all grew in these things, that would be very important. Firstly, we can know God. We can know God and enjoy the intimacy of his presence. He's not a God who's far off. We can know him personally. We can live in an intimate relationship with him. Secondly, we depend on him for everything. The power of ministry comes from him. Now, we hear so often about horror missionary stories, I guess, where people are working away for years, year after year, and seeing little fruit. And even if they do, they're often burnt out. And Roland would say, what makes Iris missionaries different is that we are trying to work from this as our understanding, that we're depending on him for absolutely everything. Without him showing up, our ministry, without him showing up in power, our ministry is just not effective. The third thing, our primary mission field is to start with the poor, to start with the least of these, and the broken, the homeless, those without a place in the world. That's our primary mission field, the least of these. The fourth one, we understand the value of suffering in the Christian life. And if you were there when Roland was talking a bit about this and saying that it's not a popular word to talk about suffering in the church, but nevertheless, it's in the Bible, and that part of the book we can't overlook. We understand the value of suffering in the Christian life. But nevertheless, the fifth one, we expect to live a life full of joy. The joy sustains us. Unspeakable joy is what we expect. We have every right to be the most optimistic people in the world, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, we should be living a life that's full of joy. And we can often get bogged down in day-to-day things, but when we go back to God, we should be able to recognize, I should be optimistic about this and live in that life of joy. By the power of the Holy Spirit. All of those things, they're not things that we can, none of those things we can do in our own strength, of course. They're because of that relationship we have with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, and his leading, his empowering.
So I hope that is challenging. That was our message today, that your hearts would be expanded, that you'd take hold of some of those things today and think about what it is that God's wanting you to do. We shared a bit about our personal life, how we got from A to maybe C, and I know we're going further, and it's a really exciting thing. If we could just have, yeah, that's great, some music, that would be terrific. I just wanted to share this quote, and just because I'm the age I am doesn't mean I don't listen to Jake Hamilton, but he says, "Wake up, child, it's your turn to shine for such a time as this. Wake up, church, it's your turn to shine for such a time as this. Wake up, Berwick Vineyard, whoa, it's your turn to shine, and I know that you're doing amazing things around here. This is an awesome place. And like Ken said before, be where there's other people of faith. It's an amazing place to be. Encourage one another. Press on. Hear the stories from one another. Because if you say yes to God, he has you on a journey for sure. And you don't know what it's like in the next step, but you just say yes and go from there. So I think that I'd like you just to close your eyes. And I just want you to think about how big is your heart. We know it's the size of a fist physically, but how big is your heart? And I just know God's wanting to bring people to mind, that maybe there's people that you're going to need to fix up relationship with. They might only be small things, but small things become bigger things. And if you have a person's name on your heart, God's speaking to you now. We're called to love. We're called to have big hearts. It might mean all kinds of things of how you are to love that person. It could be that you need to write a card. It could be that you need to just share lunch together with somebody today or go and visit somebody. Encouraging words. And are you willing to say yes to God? Are you willing to say yes to Jesus and step out into this adventure? If you look behind, you'll see the times that you've said yes before, but he's calling some of you today to a bigger step of faith, a bigger yes. It's a bigger yes. You've got a choice. You can look at one hand and see the options and look at the other hand and think, what do you want more? And I just know that some of you desire to see the kingdom of God in its fullness. You desire to see healing. You desire to see food multiplied. You desire to see the supernatural break forth. And so if it's a yes to God, you tell him now in your heart. You tell him now. And we would love to pray with any of you. We'd love you just to come up the front and we will just come along and pray along with you, if that's fine, Jeff. Yeah. So if that's God's speaking to you, just come up the front here and we'll pray for you.
And I feel that there's some people here today who need to make this connection with what we've been saying with the mission school. So if you feel that that's something that you're being called to or you'd like to know more about, we can pray for you too. That would be a good thing for you to come up and we can connect with you that way.
And I just remember I had two words of knowledge. One was just that someone had an ear condition, sort of behind the ear, some sort of eczema or something like that. And also irritable bowel syndrome. If that's you, I'd love to pray for you today.
I just want to remind us of how we get stuff stolen from us, because I want faith to rise up again. Who put their hands up about seeing someone healed who was blind? Three people. Now, I want to say to you, Jacob Hicks, who saw someone healed who was blind? A little baby who was born blind, and an ophthalmologist said that he was blind, and then he wasn't. And what about someone who was deaf who was healed? Who was here when Norma was healed? We forget, don't we? We forget. Testimony gets stolen. Even when we've had stuff happen for us, and we want to continue this culture of testimony and this culture of faith. We have seen blind people healed. We have seen deaf people healed. We've seen a lot of things here that we forget about. I just want to remind you, because there's healing around this morning. Are we up for some of this? Yeah?
Okay. So step up if you want to be prayed for healing, or you want to pray for somebody here with healing, for healing. Yeah, God. We thank you for your presence here. Thank you for your presence.